We went roaring up to the house, bending trees in the wash of our jet engines and firing off preliminary warning barks as we flew past the gas tanks. Pretty impressive, huh? You bet. A lot of your ordinary dogs wouldn't have attempted to fire off pre-worn barks while traveling at Turbo 4. But we not only attempted it, we did it. Well, I did it. Drover squeaked. They weren't bad squeaks, but show me a good squeak and I'll show you a pip squeak. Drover, for example. As we roared up the Caliche Hill north of our vast office complex, I began gathering information and beaming it straight into data control for paralysis. Analysis, I guess it should be. I began so-forthing the information for data control's instant analysis. Clue number one. The unidentified vehicle turned out to be a pickup. Clue number two. Description. Four wheels, four tires, faded red cab, flatbed on the back. Clue number three. There was something familiar about the pickup, an indication that I had seen it before. Clue number four. Okay, it was one of our ranch pickups, is why it seemed familiar. Clue number five. It contained two men, Slim and High Loper. Clue number six. In other words, this was no ordinary Code 3 situation. It wasn't a Code 3 situation at all. Clue number seven. We had wasted valuable time and energy for nothing. I sent these clues to data control, and seconds later, a report flashed across the lighted screen of my mind. It said,
Ah.
That was all. No numbers, no error message, no explanation, just ha-ha. I pulled back the throttle and slowed to a walk. Drover, we're canceling the code 3. What we have here is, yeah, it's Slim and Loper. I guess they came back from the hayfield. I marched up to the yard gate to check out the situation. Slim and Loper had just returned from the hayfield. I figured that out right away. How did I know? Easy. You see, I observed that they were dressed in their farmer clothes. Lace-up boots, no spurs, no chaps, and their faces and clothes were smudged with grease. The grease smudging was a dead giveaway. If they had been cowboying, their faces wouldn't have been smudged with grease because... Well, because horses don't use grease. Tractors do, swathers do, and hay balers do, but horses don't. I'm not sure why horses don't use grease, but that's not my department. I don't even like horses. Oh, and one other clue that confirmed my theory of the hayfield. When Slim and Loper got out of the pickup, they both looked mad. That was an important clue. Over the years, I had noticed that during hay season, Slim and Loper spent most of their time being mad about something. To confirm this, I opened the outer doors of my Iratory scanners and began picking up their conversation. Loper.
Well, at least we got it bailed. It wasn't pretty, but it's done.
Slim.
Yeah, it's done. And next winter, when I have to load them 200-pound bales, I'm liable to be speaking your name.
It was the baler's fault. We're still perfecting the system.
Loper, there's a name for your system. It's called failure. If you weren't so cheap, you'd go to town and buy a new baler.
We can forget that. After lunch... Why don't you go around and oil the windmills? The wind's not blowing, and you're already greasy.
Slim hitched up his jeans.
Sounds good to me. A windmill's one piece of machinery I can understand. I'll fix the windmills, and you fix the balers. And then we'll all be happily ever afterly.
And with that, they went into the house for lunch, leaving me and Drover at the yard gate to, well, sit and wait. I mean, nobody had invited us dogs into the house for lunch.